Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo, on the line right now. Chris, thanks for doing this.
Oh, anytime, guys.
So, yeah, when you had the report that was so interesting to many, that Kawhi Leonard had no desire to play in Toronto when Masai Ujiri pulled off that trade, how did you see that season playing out for Kawhi Leonard?
You know, I really didn't know. I really didn't know. You know, I obviously knew that, you know, he would report the team and do what he had to do. But it was just an awkward situation because we knew going in, like, where he wanted to be. We knew he wanted to be in L.A. He made that clear in his trade request to the Spurs. And, you know, knowing Kawhi, I knew, like, he wasn't a fan of cold weather. And so it was like you add all those elements and those dynamics. And then when that trade went through to Toronto, it was like, I wonder how this is going to play out. But, you know, he went in. You know, he was a – you know, he did his job. He was a leader. It was an awkward situation because I think everybody knew, like, this was kind of like a real true rental situation. But he made the most of it. You know, I don't think anybody – saw before it happened, you know, what eventually did happen, and that's getting the city a championship.
Yeah. Do you think there was ever a tipping point with him in terms of his buy-in to Toronto? Because, yeah, early on when people said he didn't want to be here, I'm guessing that he probably still hadn't even given up on the possibility of still being moved by the Raptors somewhere else or using this almost as a checkpoint before flipping over to L.A. Did you ever hear of, or were you ever indicated as to a moment where Kawhi really started to buy in and appreciate the at least opportunity he had to win in Toronto?
I never heard at any point during the season that he was looking to get out, you know, during that season. You know, once the trade was made, you know, he had time, you know, to process things, and, you know, he was fully committed to, you know, doing what he had to do at that time in Toronto. And I think the Raptors did a great job in making him feel welcome. You know, the training staff built in trust. You know, it was kind of the low management was kind of started there. And, you know, he even said that, you know, he wouldn't be able to perform at a high level last postseason if it wasn't for the way they maintenance him during the regular season. So, you know, there was definitely trust built, obviously, but it just wasn't an ideal situation for him to be all the way over there. But, you know, he played like a pro. You know, him and his Uncle Dennis, I think they definitely, you know, gathered friends over there. And I think they made the best out of the situation. But there was never a point where he was still looking to get out during that season. I was not told that.
We're talking to Chris Haynes, senior NBA insider for Yahoo. And you mentioned the health and the way that they managed him. And there's more load management this year with the Clippers. But Kawhi, there's been some stretches where he's looked kind of like the version after game three of the Bucks series, where he was kind of dragging a little bit. He looks sometimes a bit hobbled. Do you have an understanding of where Kawhi's health is at today and whether that Raptors run took a toll?
Yeah, obviously they keep that stuff pretty private. Kawhi really doesn't talk about it, but now with the NBA kind of banning the term load management, you know, Clippers have been forced to, you know, come out and say, you know, there is a knee injury. That was the same knee, he kind of banged up last postseason. He was dealing with that in the playoffs last year. I can't remember what series that was, but, you know, we saw him limping a little bit. And so it's still that same knee. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy right now that's going to be able to play anywhere close to 82 games a season. And so I think the Clippers looked at the Toronto Raptors blueprint, and they're implementing that and doing it even more. Just trying to make sure they keep him as happy as possible and healthy as possible going into the postseason.
And that's, yeah, I mean, Kawhi Leonard's going to use the regular season as a preamble for the postseason. That's what he's all about.
And I would assume that Steve Ballmer is very happy cutting any check to the NBA.
Yeah, if ever,
to find the
whatever.
For sitting Kawhi.
He don't care. he did leave. We've spent a lot of today talking about perception. He left this franchise after they won a championship and he had a chance to run it back. And we know the reasons why, and they're all understandable. But did that have any impact? Are people able, do you think you're able to separate that, like this individual circumstance, from a franchise that has lost some big name free agents in the past? Like, what is the perception after Kawhi left this organization?
You know, that's a good question. It's kind of hard for me to answer that. You know, I'm not in Toronto a ton, but you know, I remember before the finals were over, I was like kind of thinking, I was like, man, if the Raptors won, I felt like it would be a better chance that he would return. You know, just to run it back. And I'm like, how can you leave after a championship? But then my colleague, you know, here at Yahoo, you know, Syriac, I'm pretty sure y'all had on a few times. Mm-hmm. She was like, nah, I think he'd bounce. If he won a championship, I think he'd bounce. Like, the city, this is something they've never experienced before. If he gets from that, like, he doesn't owe him anything. And I started looking at that. I'm like, okay. You know, then you know, I spoke to Uncle Dennis. You know, he actually went on record with me. It was right after the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, he was just talking about, like, went back in time and talked about what happened with San Antonio, because nobody really spoke about that publicly, about what happened. And, you know, he told me, you know, trust, you know, was broken. And he just wanted, you know, Kawhi wanted to play, and for an organization to just question, you know, he didn't want to be out there, you know, on the court with his teammates. You know, that was just like the straw that broke the camel's back, and he knew it was time to go. And, you know, he talked about how great, you know, how Toronto was treating him and things of that nature. And so when I got off the phone with him, I started thinking, realized, I'm like, huh, I guess that scenario could play out. If they did win the championship, they could still bounce, because L.A. was always, you know, on their mind. And, but I just got to commend Kawhi in his camp for the way he handled that. They focused in on that one season. They did what they had to do. And San Antonio, I know for sure, they never envisioned him going, you know, they felt like they'll send him to one of the coldest destinations, and knowing his preference. And I think they knew, they couldn't envision that he would go off and do what he did that one season in Toronto.
Yeah, it's still, to me, one of the biggest benefits in terms of what we're talking about, lasting impacts of how people view Toronto, is Kawhi delivering the championship also allowed people in a winter sport to see what Toronto's like in the summer. Like, there was video of our parade, and you actually got to see, hey, oh, it gets nice there, huh? Oh, that's interesting.
It's not always February.
Yeah, it's not always ice cold. It's not always the Serge Ibaka video of him walking through the snowstorm in his parka. That's nice. Garage to garage, we don't have to talk about that. Yeah, and I think that it's a very small minority of the fan base that has any residual hard feelings towards Kawhi in terms of the departure and free agency. Like, the Toronto Maple Leafs ended up landing a massive free agent the year before, in John Tavares, who was from Toronto, and everyone understood that, you know, the allure of going home and the desire to be home, and that Kawhi being so close with his family, that this was a decision that was more about them than it even was an individual choice in him, that it was greater than basketball. No one begrudged him of that. But the thing I think people still wonder about is the meeting in Toronto during his free agency, when they left the jet and Kawhi flew in, and there was all the helicopters that made national news. They're following him all the way to Yorkville. And then, because afterwards, Masai Ujiri seemed a little sour about the way things had been, I guess, portrayed to him. Do you have any insight as to why it seemed as though he felt there was not the same level of honesty from Kawhi's camp when they had those negotiations right before he ended up going to the Clippers?
I want to caution, I would only be assuming at this point, but I think, like, you know, shoot, I think the Lakers pitched a fit as well. Felt like, you know, things were asked of them that was unreasonable. And I can only assume that the Raptors might have felt the same way, or felt like, you know, look, Kawhi was going to L.A., you know, and I think when you go into these free agency meetings, you know, when you're the team, you're trying to pitch your team, your franchise, you hope that you have everybody's attention, that you have everybody's open, you know, everybody has an open mind. And I think maybe, you know, they felt like, the Raptors felt like they didn't have that, you know, like, but kind of felt like he was already, you know, 2 feet in to L.A., one of those teams. And so, I'm like I said, I will only be assuming, but, you know, I would probably think that that was the case. Maybe things were asked for that were unreasonable, but it kind of felt like, you know, this wasn't a realistic situation of him returning, and probably felt, you know, maybe it was a waste of time. But like I said, I will only be assuming. I'm just trying to put, you know, put the pieces together of the puzzle. It was a frustrating situation for, you know, Lakers as well, you know, going through that situation. I remember talking with LeBron and AD during Summer League in Las Vegas, and they felt really good. Like, I asked them about, you know, what's the chances. They didn't say we got them or anything, but they were just like, gave me a smile. They felt really good. So, you know, it was a couple of franchises that had their heart broken this summer.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But you know what? Today will be a great day.
But everyone got to learn the lesson of never underestimate Kawhi in any capacity.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That was like the last thing.
Never think you know what Kawhi is going to do.
Yeah. And you're the man who knows more than anybody else.
Yeah. We appreciate you joining us today, Chris. Thanks for this.
Thanks, man.
Bye, guys. Y'all take care.
All right, you too.